earlier on that at 25 past 11. Now, I'm delighted to welcome into the studio local writer, he's been a guest on this show before, William Gallagher. William from Bearwood, if I remember correctly, William.
Right on the border of Bearwood and Oldbury, so just outside.
Okay, the Bearwood-Oldbury borders, as no doubt the estate agents try to sell it. And, William, we've spoken about your career before. You wrote the definitive book about an historic British TV series called The Beiderbecke Affair. You've written scripts for the audio version of Doctor Who. Yes. You are a writer. You write. Know how to write. And if you're here today, basically, if anybody's listening to this programme and wants to write, your new book, The Blank Screen, Productivity for Creative Writers, is out now. But people are free right now to plunder your vast knowledge and find out about writing from you.
I hope it's vast.
That's the idea. 03453 00 9956. Ever thought about writing a story? Ever thought writing about a novel? Ever thought about writing a screenplay? In any event, if you want any tips, any hints, any ideas, just how to get started. And then once you've got started, which can be hard enough in its own right, then to make the next couple of steps, just to get yourself some momentum, William is the man. And Flora in Birmingham wants to speak to you. Hello, Flora. How are you?
Hello. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Go on, Flora. What do you want to ask, William? What are you thinking of writing?
Well, I have wrote a lot of stories about the children that grew up with in Italy when I was a child.
Okay.
I was born in Italy in 1949 and was given away by my mother at the age of 6 months.
You were given away by your mother?
Yes. She was only 16, 17 herself.
Yes.
And I was brought up in an institution. This was still, and is a practice in Italy, I'm afraid. It shifts the burden of guilt from mothers to the child.
Yes.
Now, I wrote a lot of story about it, and about the children that I grew up with. And I need some professional help.
So, Flora, when you say you wrote stories about the children that you grew up with, do you mean fiction stories or just true life stories?
No, true life story. It forms a study of mother who deceived the children by placing them into an institution and leave them there and forgot about them.
And these were children like you who were in care?
Yeah, I was only 6 months when I entered into this institution.
Yeah, so, and have you shown your writing to anybody?
No, I haven't, but I've been kind of distracted and preoccupied. I wrote a lot of story about it.
Well, Flora, really interesting story to come out from you, I have to say. What do you say, William?
That's such an emotive, potent topic. I mean, you say all that and I want to read it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's this interesting issue of whether that's journalism or fiction, though. There's different routes for different things. If you've written them as fiction stories, I think the practical thing is you've got a body of material now. Keep writing them. You must keep working on more material and you must keep revising the old ones, but do get them out to people. I write to be read. I'm very much about the professionalism of practicality of getting writing. So I would tell you, look on Amazon, look in local bookshops, find the nearest books that are like yours, find the publishers and find the writers and their agents and Google them, see what you can learn about them. You'll get their address and you can approach them. You can't just send a whole book off to somebody, everybody's sending books in, but you can send in what's called a query email and just ask, tell them in a line or two what you've got. And you have such potent material. It sounds likely to me that at some point somebody will be keen to at least talk to you about doing some more.
Yeah, and Flora, you know, that professional help may be available to you from the editors of publishers or from literary agents if the body of work is as interesting as it sounds to me. There's a guy I know called Dave Peltzer who wrote a series of books about growing up in care homes in this country, Flora. I don't know if have you ever heard of Dave Peltzer?
No, I haven't.
Well, I would check out his books, and there's all
the knowledge of writing. I'm just making notes and writing a story about children that I grew up with.
Sure. And there's also been a number of accounts of the children in Ireland who grew up in the Magdalen. The Magdalen laundries, weren't they were called. So I'm just trying to think of those books, Flora, which tell similar stories, but obviously very different as well from yours. You know, that's what William's saying. Find out who publishes those books. Find out if you can, you know, and you can find this on the internet quite readily, who the agents are for those writers, and send some of your stuff off to them. And they will tell you at what stage you are, whether you need more professional help, whether you might be ready to publish even now.
Totally.
About Flora. I don't know where to begin, really, because I haven't I don't have the computer and I don't have the knowledge on how to go about. I've just been kind of busy and preoccupied and,
right. Actually,
and spend my whole entire lifetime on writing short stories.
Sure.
If you submit to somebody, Flora, you will have to have it typed. You will have to be able to email it. But it sounds to me like at your stage, more you need to know how it's working. You're very close to the original subject matter, and that's probably a barrier to knowing whether your writing works for someone who doesn't know the story at all. So you could consider, you might benefit from a local writing group. Do you know King's Heath area? There's a group called Powwow, run by historical novelist Andy Killeen.
What do you call Powwow?
Powwow.
Powwow,
There's a website for it. It's a really strong group, lots of novelists.
Well, Flora, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll keep your details here on BBC WM Now, and I think William's making a very good point. You know, there are local writers' groups. If anyone had come forward between now and 12 o'clock, and we'll pass your details on to Flora. She's not on the web, doesn't have the internet, but she's clearly got a story that's going to be worth hearing at some level or another. Give us a call if you think we can help Flora. 03453 009956. The time now on BBC WM is 11:30. We got the Bearwood stroke Oldbury writer William Gallagher with us. He's written Doctor Who audio scripts. He's written the definitive account of the hit television series The Beiderbecke Affair. If you want to talk to William about writing, if you want to help Flora, who's got these amazing sounding stories about growing up as an orphan in Italy in the 1950s, give us a call. 03453 009956.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Let's get the latest headlines now. Kevin Pashby.
Good morning. An investigation's beginning into exactly what caused an American Pave Hawk helicopter to crash in North Norfolk. Four people were killed when the military copter came down during a low-flying exercise yesterday evening. The area's been sealed off as live ammunition is scattered over an area the size of a football pitch. There's calls for the government to review all of its private security contracts with G4S just days after a series of violent incidents were uncovered at Oakwood Prison near Wolverhampton. A number of cells were damaged at the site run by the firm during 9 hours of trouble on Sunday night. That follows other disturbances involving drunk prisoners setting fire to waste bins and attacking officers with snooker cues. New guidance has been issued for the treatment of men with prostate cancer that's deemed to be of low or intermediate risk. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence says doctors should consider monitoring patients rather than offering secure surgery or radiotherapy. And the space drama Gravity leads the way at this year's BAFTAs, scoring 11 nominations, including Best Film and Best British Film. Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave has 10 nods, as does American Hustle. Taking a look at the weather, showers this morning. It should turn dry and brighter this afternoon. Highs of 10 Celsius, that's 50 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
27 minutes to 12. Adrian Goldberg here. Don't forget, coming up at 12 o'clock today, we've got lunch with Caroline Martin. Caroline's going to be talking about the huge increase in online and racial bullying. That's Caroline Martin with you at lunch from 12 o'clock today. Before then, we'll have our little What's Going On feature. Anything you want to alert me to by way of community events in and around the West Midlands, just drop me an email now to adrian.goldberg@bbc.co.uk and we'll try and get it on air for you. Right now, we've got William Gallagher with us. William has written loads of TV and radio scripts. Perhaps his best known work is as an audio script writer for the Doctor Who audio books. He's written the definitive book of the Beiderbecke Affair, which is a hit TV series in what, the 70s?
In the 80s
on the BBC. And his new book, The Blank Screen, Productivity for Creative Writers, is out now. We've got a stack of people who want to speak to you. Keith, Doug, Kathy, I'll be with you in just a moment. I suppose the first most obvious question, though, William, is if people do want to start writing, because that's very often the biggest hurdle, where and how do you start? out?
Well, it's funny. It is the biggest hurdle. You guess, your meditation guest, Jenny, was talking about how we judge ourselves. And I find when you start writing, writers are the worst at this. We think, I've written that, it's rubbish, and you don't do it again. Put judgment aside and start. The one easy thing about writing is that anybody can do it anywhere. You can start, why aren't you writing today? If you wanted to write a novel, why not now? The Blank Screen book, I actually got the idea for it on the number one bus. I was going to see my mum in Acots Green, and I wrote the first 1,000 words before I got the end there, because I could. And actually, the book is partly about getting started, but partly about how to cope, because when I last saw you, I was writing 2 hours of Doctor Who, 170,000 words of a Blake 7 book, and it was all happening at the same time. So it was fraught and busy. And then the next month, I had nothing to do at all. So it was, how do you get started? How do you pick up again? And the thing is, actually, I made a mistake then. I should have started the next thing in head. Always keep working. Even if you write something and send it out, be working on the next thing, because you'll improve all the time.
So basically, start. Don't worry about how good you are. Forget it. Yes. Forget how good you are. Start writing. Ignore how good or bad it is. Just carry on.
Yeah.
And just carry, you know, you can't be a writer unless you write.
Absolutely. Look at me. I'm rubbish, but I keep going.
I have often the same feeling, my friend. Let's speak to Keith in Oldbury. Hello, Keith. How are you?
Hello, Adrian, William. How are you?
Hello, mate. Go on, Keith.
Hi. Yeah, I'm from Bearwood in Oldbury, like you. I don't know where you're from, but best of luck to you. I've also been working as a writer, not very successfully, might add at the moment. I've written the Birmingham Tennis Trial and the Birmingham Film Trial from my garret here in Summer Lane. So, that's my father. He was born in Summer Lane. I'm a bit of a local historian as well. And I know there's a bit of a niche there in Colchin and Chris Upton and what they've done. How would you recommend that I get my Birmingham Film Trial and my Birmingham Tennis Trial published, William?
Well, did you hear what we said to Flora a moment ago?
Yeah, I'm a lot further forward than Flora. She can't even work a computer. Oh. You know, I'm very active on social media.
Yeah, but the point that William's making is, you know, who are the people who publish those books, and who are the agents, if agents are involved? I'm not sure agents are necessarily involved in those books, but, you know, who are the agents who help get those kind of books published? That's look at the market.
Yeah, it sounds very cold and callous. Say you are creating your work, and at some point, though, you have to think like a businessman or woman. Where will this sell? And always, no matter how original your book is, there is something that will at least appeal to people already. There's a book like it, or a type of book. Birmingham Historical Fiction and Non-Fiction does really well, but it's a very specific market. So you're lucky in a way. There's only a very few number of publishers who will do it, and you can find them quickly. And because they're small and because you're local, they're much more quickly approachable than your gigantic international fiction publishers. It sounds very easy, doesn't it? You're just saying, look at who published something and go talk to them. But the thing with it is, it is that easy. It is always the same answer. Where can your book be sold?
Yeah, so be hard-headed about it, Keith. You know, look at the writers that you've mentioned, see where their work has been published, and approach the same people. You know, it's a niche, but it's clearly a niche that appeals to a lot of people. So
it appeals to me, actually. I love that stuff.
How about that, Keith?
Well, yeah, thanks for that, William. I mean, just to give you a quick fact, I've got it at my fingertips. John Pius Boland was the first Olympic tennis champion, not Andy Murray from Britain. Although he was an Irishman, and he was from the Oratory in Edgbaston, would you believe that?
Well, Keith, you're running away with it now. Yes. You know? That's the kind of
sports facts.
People will love that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good luck to you, Keith. Let us know when you got a publisher. We'll get you on.
Nice to meet you.
Kathy's in Acots Green. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, good morning, Adrian.
Howdy. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello, Acots Green. That's where I was going when I was writing the book. Hello.
I heard you said your mum lived in Acots Green.
Yes.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So many people want to do what you're doing, and for one reason or the other, we just don't get there. But my main question is, how on earth do you cope when you've written something obviously brilliant because it's accepted, either by TV or film, and then they make fundamental changes to it? How do you cope with that?
Well, I'm Interesting place. I work across journalism and fiction, stage and radio. And in most of the things I do, what I write is what goes out. But I was trained on journalism, so I'm used to the fact that I will be changed if a fact change, and you just accept that. You're rewritten if something more important comes along. There's a guy on Doctor Who, an editor called Alan Barnes, who phoned me up one day laughing at me because he said a scene I'd written was so bad. And it was a gorgeous conversation because he knew we would fix it. I knew he was smart, and I enjoyed that. Part of the joy of drama, I think, is collaboration. And whenever I can get that into books as well, it is a joy. Writing is quite a lonely job in a way. You sit there typing away. So just getting out and talking to people is a thrill. And you are all focused on the same job. Publishers, editors, critics, you want the same thing. You want the best book for the right orders. The audience is what's important, not the writer. So I'm okay with being changed if it's for the good.
Are you someone who dabbles a bit, Kathy?
I have written a few drafts.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what are you waiting for then? What's holding you back?
All right, thank you.
Absolutely, yes.
For the advice. God bless.
Let us know when we can pre-order it on Amazon.
Kathy and Acox Green, 03453-00956. William Gallagher is here dispensing his very considerable wisdom, it has to be said, as a writer, as a novelist, as a screenwriter. The Blank Screen, his book, is out now. Let's speak to Doug in Dudley. Hello, Doug, how are you?
Hello there.
All right,
Doug.
Couple of three questions.
Yeah.
Firstly, how do you get your book published? I've written a book, which I suppose is a romantic book in some ways, but a realistic book in others. And there is a twist at the end. But how do you get that published? That's the first thing. The other thing is I've got some ideas, which I'll be putting down on paper, obviously, which would be ideal for television from the point of view of a mystery, a detective mystery, really, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And it would suit some of the programmes that already exist. It's an idea that would slot into some of the series.
Actually, can I stop you with that one? Because that one's just something I'm working with at the moment. Writing scripts, no matter how much you like a show or you know a show and you know your story will work best in that, don't write it as a completely original piece. When you do talk to TV producers, and it does take a long time to talk to them, they want to see what you can do without the bits they've created. And maybe that story will then go on and be reused, but they need to hear your voice and what you can do. As for the novels and romances, I mean, I'm a romance. I love rom-coms and romances. And actually, I pitched to Mills and Boone once. I could only do a short romance. I thought I'd like this thing. And they wrote back and said, "Dear Mrs. Gallagher, we don't publish, we only publish romances." And I put my heart and soul into this. It was a true love story. Mills and Boone, if you're writing from scratch, I would say read some of theirs and do it. I mean, we knock Mills and Boones because they do so many of them, but they're very popular, and when they're good, they're really good. You could explore those. Since you've already got a romance, we're back to the same thing we said with Flora right at the start. Look to see what's the closest. Romance is a really tough one to break into, but when you get in, there are a lot of publishers. So speak to one. If you get rejected, see what you learn from that and go to the next as well and keep plugging away. But also, I loved what you said about that you've got ideas you'll write down. Keep writing them down. Absolutely.
Does that help, Doug? Hello, Doug?
Hello.
Yeah,
what I was going to say was that I wouldn't impose all of my ideas into the script, but the story would obviously be looked at by a scriptwriter to make it suitable for their programme and their... But it's the ideas that I've got that I think about.
OK, well, fair enough, Doug. But as I say, William's advice is try and treat it as a completely fresh project because you've got much more success of getting through the door than if you send them an idea for something that they're already working
on. The harsh thing, I'm afraid, is that ideas are 10 a penny. It's how you get it through and do it, so you have to write it.
Let's speak to Mark in Rubry. Hello, Mark, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Hello, mate, how you doing?
Yeah, go on, pal. Hey.
Yeah, just a question for your guest, mate. How do you patent what you write? So, hypothetical situation, let's say that you're going to do
for example, a talk or a lecture on what you know on a particular subject, but you worked out what words you're going to use, what information or data you're going to use, and that's your data. Before you put it out there, how can you copyright it or patent it?
The harsh practical answer is that you don't bother. You can do things. You can do tricks like posting it to yourself. You can file copyright claims with the Writers Guild and things. But it sounds strange, but when I was on a magazine, I would get a submission and it began with, "This is copyright." I knew that writer was inexperienced. It's weird. It sounds like a legal protection, but it's actually a badge saying, "I haven't had anything published before." So it's possible you'll get ripped off. I think in 25 years, I know one story I wrote that went somewhere else, and that was slightly annoying, but you know, it just...
But in essence, you're saying to Mark, don't worry about it. The chances of somebody ripping you off, pretty slim.
They're tiny, yes.
Mark, how about that? Just chill out and write what you're going to write, and, you know, most people are honourable.
Yeah, I was looking at it from a technical point of view. I mean, obviously, most of you are writing novels and things like that.
Yeah.
But basically, if you've got a bit of technical, let's say you've got a bit of technical information on, say, building something, you've got a new building, you're building it, you're doing it in a certain way, you want to write a book about it, but you want to protect that information because only you have it, before you sort of like pass it on to someone and then they use it and then they pass it on to someone else.
Right, but ultimately the reason you're writing the book is for people to find out how to do something, so you will be giving it away. If you didn't, then the book would have no value and it wouldn't work and you would be protecting your secret but not for any use. I get your point on the more technical side of it, but actually I stay with the same thing. Write it as brilliantly as you can and put it out there. Get it out there first.
Mark, thanks very much indeed for joining in. I had so many calls today to William with his writing Q&A. It's great to just tap into a little bit of the creative side of people in Birmingham and the Black Country. Elizabeth is in Burnley listening online. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm all right. Hello. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Burnley, Lancashire. Nice to have you along with us.
My question is, I'm an amateur writer and I'm working really hard on a film script and the story's inspired by reality. And I wanted to know how you go on when you're writing about real people. I mean, the story I'm telling is about Shirley Nolan and how she pioneered the world's first donor register, and she did it because she'd given birth to Anthony Nolan. So, and there are people who are still alive and people who are obviously dead within the story. And as an amateur, I'm sort of, I feel like I'm walking through a minefield.
Elizabeth, I think that's a fantastic question because real life often throws up some of the best stories for drama. And obviously you're going to turn this into a work of, at least of semi-fiction, aren't you? You're going to put words into it that you imagine, little bits of conflict and drama that take place. So is Elizabeth free to do that, even if it touches on real lives?
I actually winced when you started because I just imagined doing it myself and the minefield, good word. I could just see the court case coming for him. The trouble is that people, there's slander and there's libel. If somebody's alive and you describe something and you're wrong, you're in trouble. And actually, you can give a bad impression of somebody even if you're factually correct. This is a journalism ethics issue over it. I think you would probably be best off trying to speak to someone involved and getting their point of view for it, and in there, that way getting any kind of tacit approval. Certainly you get lots of unauthorised books published by people, and I don't really know how they get away with it.
I suppose there's two things here, aren't there, Elizabeth? One is, I mean, in law, you can write about real people, and you can fictionalise their life story, but if they are alive and feel that you've damaged their reputation, then even though you're not writing a piece of journalism, the laws of libel still come into place. It's that, so they don't own the copyright on their own life story. You can write about it, but you do risk issues of libel if they're unhappy with what you write. Is that the long and short of it?
That's a really good description. I have a personal problem with this, is that I'm a journalist and a fiction writer, and when the two blur, I get really edgy. If I make up dialogue that somebody, a real person, has said,
yeah,
I don't really enjoy it.
Does that help, Elizabeth? I know it's not necessarily straightforward advice, but I think
it does. I mean, sadly, Shirley Nolan died in 2002, and the Nolan Trust are behind me. They're helping me. Not financially, but they are.
Yeah, they back what you're doing.
Oh, that's exactly what I thought you'd do. Yeah, yeah. I do.
And also, I would say, and you know, horrible, really, the fact that she has died does make it a little bit easier as well, because you can't libel dead people. But it doesn't sound to me, from what you're talking about, that you want to libel her anyway. You know, you want to say nice things about her and celebrate her life. Listen, Elizabeth, if you get this off the ground, will you come and tell us about it? It'd be lovely to hear about it.
Oh, yeah, of course I will. Definitely, yeah.
Great to have you listening online in Burnley, in Lancashire. William, absolutely phenomenal response to this Q&A this morning. Brilliant to have you along.
Thank you.
We'll see you again. You'll be invited back. William's book, The Blank Screen, Productivity for Creative Writers, is out now.
Thank you. That's
William Gallagher from those very fashionable Bearwood Oldbury borders. But his mum lives in Acocks Green. It's Adrian Goldberg here on BBC WM at 10 to 12.